95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Sports. Here once again for the week's Coach's Corner. Coming to you live down Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford. For more than 60 years, Coach's Corner has been talking to the city high school coaches about the week in sports, and we will continue to do that as we look ahead to the upcoming week of the high school football season with our first coach of the morning. I'll give you a heads up, everybody. We're having a little technical difficulties this morning, so we are trying to fight through that. So it might sound a little different, but we're still going to get everybody on as best we can. Here is the Lakeview Ford Coach's Corner scoreboard. In the game of the week, Battle Creek Central and Kalamazoo Central met once again in the longest-running rivalry west of the Alleghenies. And this time, it was a battle of first-place teams. Kalamazoo Central came away with a 31-12 win over the Bearcats. Kalamazoo Central now has a game lead in the division, and they have one game left to play in the division. Elsewhere in the city, Harper Creek also remained in first place in this conference with a 29-15 win over Hastings. In another battle of first-place teams, and this time state-ranked teams. Also in the Interstate 8 Conference, Marshall beat Penfield 36-7 in the SMAC. Lakeview lost to Stevensville Lakeshore 56-14. And elsewhere in the city, St. Phil will play this afternoon in their homecoming game at TW Post Field at 1:30 against state-ranked Mendon. In other scores around the area, Coldwater beat Okemos 42-7. Climax got past Bellevue 57-0. It was Colon 54, Athens 0. Addison beat Homer 22-7. Boy Norris defeated Gull Lake 27-13. It was Bronson 32, White Pigeon 6. Delton Kellogg 36, Galesburg Augusta 32. And state-ranked Olivet stayed hot with a 14-7 win over Charlotte. We will be back with our first coach after this commercial. This is Coach's Corner on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Scott.com.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
It's Bill Broderick about to fire back corner. We have someone coming off the bench to chat with us this morning for Penfield, our assistant coach, Marty Martin, for Robbie Hatton, who couldn't be with us. Are you there, Marty?
I am. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Penfield played Marshall last night in an Interstate 8 conference game, and Marshall came away with a 36-7. Why don't you walk us through a little bit of what happened early in that game?
Yeah, so our defense got two big turnovers for us early in the game, and, you know, we really weren't able to convert it. And then, again, our defense did a great job of putting us in a position. Marshall had to punt out of the end zone, and it wasn't a very long punt, and the very first play we scored on it to make it a 7-6 ball game. And then Marshall had a couple of drives that they put together, and I believe it was like 22-7 at halftime. Again, we had some opportunities, but we just couldn't execute on offense to put together some consistent drives there at the end of the first half.
Seems like it would have been key to get some momentum early when the defense was playing so well and put some points on the board. Did you feel like that was like a lost opportunity a little bit?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we had some good play calls. We just didn't execute to the level that we needed to be successful. And, you know, again, when you put your defense out there on two or three consecutive drives, on short drives, then it does make it difficult on your defense.
Trailing 22-7 at halftime, and The idea is that maybe go into halftime and see if you can make something happen early in the second half. Looked like you weren't able to get any momentum going again in the second half as well, and Marshall had some tack-on scores there. What was happening there a little bit?
Yeah, so we did have a 10-play drive and a 12-play drive at the beginning of the second half, and we just, again, we weren't able to execute. We got into scoring position inside the red zone, had a holding penalty on first down, got within the 5-yard line and just couldn't get that fourth down play. It's tough. We have 8 kids, sometimes 7 to 8 kids going both ways. And, they're playing their hearts out. And right now we're just not making plays when we need to. We have a pretty good play call. We execute for the most part, but it's just a breakdown. One or two or three kids just have a breakdown, and we just can't consistently get those drives into the end zone. We had over 300 yards of offense again last night. We've been able to put over 300 yards of offense up for the last 3 games. We're just not getting it onto the scoreboard.
Tommy Wright scored the lone touchdown for Penfield there, like you said, in the first half. Marshall has a diverse offensive attack, and it looked like it was working well last night. Akin Olapade had 3 touchdowns on the ground. Their big running back had 103 yards rushing with 21 carries. Their quarterback, the first-year starter for them, has come on strong throughout the season, and he can beat you with his legs or his arms. And he went 139 yards rushing himself with 19 carries and scored 2 touchdowns on the ground. And Marshall had 300 yards rushing in that game. Were you trying to take away the pass a little bit, and they were beating you with a run, or what was going on? They just found something with the run a little bit and was able to consistently keep drives going?
Yeah, so Marshall's offense really did a nice job of keeping us off balance, and we did have them on some 3rd and longs, and like you said, the quarterback extended the play or got out of the pocket, made a nice run. When you face a talented quarterback and running back like that, it's hard to stop them both. And at times, they had their opportunities and they took advantage of it.
Like you said, you had some good individual performances in terms of keeping you guys in the game and not being able to finish off drives. But some other guys stood out for you. Who played well for you guys last night?
Yeah, so on the defensive side, Gavin May has just been this stalwart all year, man. Sideline to sideline, he just goes and he makes some plays. I thought Peyton Merlington played a really nice game on defense last night. And Connor Wood, who's a junior, we started him at the Bear last night, and he really did a nice job for us. And so we're really optimistic about him. On offense, Dre Bailey had a good game. Calvin Payson's, our quarterback, did a nice job of protecting the football. He was under a lot of pressure, and he could have forced some throws, but he tried to stay within what we were trying to do. And then again, in the first half, Isaiah Gray has some nice runs, but we lost him due to injury.
So Penfield turns the page a little bit. They stay in the conference the last 2 weeks of the season. They get both games at home. You have Jackson Northwest coming up, and then you finish the season with Parma Western. Both those teams have had up and down years. Speaking of Jackson Northwest first, what have you guys seen from them early or throughout the season in the I-8, and what kind of opportunities do you feel like you have next week?
Well, Marshall, Northwest, and Parma, they've taken turns beating each other. Northwest, as you know, is a power run team. Again, we've been undersized in almost every game that we've played this year. I think the only game that we really weren't undersized was Buchanan. So we're going to have to find a way to stop their running attack. We're going to have to really be tough along the line of scrimmage. And, we're hoping that the kids that are going both ways can hold up. As far as their defense, there's games where they've come out and they've really done a nice job of stopping the other team's offense. And then there's some games out there where they've given up some points. So we're going to hope that when we hit them this week, that they're in a defensive standpoint where we're going to put some points up on the board. We've got to finish drives. That's on us. We've got to finish drives.
And at this point, you also want to finish the season. You want to finish the season strong. There's some opportunities playing at home the last 2 weeks. What's the message going forward in terms of finishing the season strong and gaining some momentum for this young Penfield team that has a lot of – you're playing a lot of young players and has a nice future ahead of them, but you want to put something together this year to get people excited about next year?
Yeah, so one of the things that I really would encourage is getting people out to the game. These kids have played hard. They've practiced hard. You know, they've done everything that we've tried to ask them to do, and they need the support from the community. But as far as getting on a roll these last two games, we have two opportunities to play teams that we can actually compete and beat. So we're just going to work on the fundamentals. We're going to work on just trying to execute and really just try to finish drives on offense. And then on defense, we want to get off the ball, off the field on third down. We feel that we've left some opportunities out there on third down where we've had teams in long yardage situations and they've been able to execute. So just kind of going back to those fundamentals and trying to finish the year strong and build that momentum into next year.
Sounds good. And we'll be able to talk about the Jackson Northwest at Penfield game next week when we get together again in the Coach's Corner. Appreciate you calling in, Coach, and we'll talk about Penfield football again next week. Thanks a lot.
Yep, thank you for having us.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning after this break on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Brett Vermin, the Lakeview Spartans. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
We had Lakeview taking a long trip to Lake Michigan last night in MAC action and came away with a 56-14 loss. Walk us through what happened in the early part of that game and how did Lakeview kind of come out?
Again, struggles of stopping somebody. Their quarterback was very dynamic. He's an all-state track kid. Been a state champion in the long jump. And he proved he's an athletic kid. Did a great job of just keeping the ball on some QB runs, breaking some big plays throughout the game. And again, just came down to us not being able to stop him. We did some good things offensively. I think I say that every single week. Didn't quite finish every single drive that we had, but, I mean, we got inside the 25, 6 different times. And, you know, we did some decent things, you know, offensively. But we were winning at halftime down 35-14. We scored a touchdown right before half. Getting the ball coming out of halftime, we went down and drove the ball all the way down to the about 15-yard line. Quarterback got sacked, fumbled it. They scooped and either scored it or got it all the way down to like the 2-yard line, and they scored off of that. You know, it would have been big 35-21. You know, they had a really nice drive again for the our second possession. I think we possessed it for, almost like a quarter and a half for that second half. But just couldn't stop big plays, couldn't stop them from, obviously scoring. So that does not bode well for the team.
Putting together these long drives and getting inside the 20 several times and not be able to finish those drives. Can you talk about what's kind of the breakaway there? What's not happening there at the end of those drives that's a little frustrating for you and the coaching staff?
They're low everything. Maybe a bad play call, maybe a lack of execution, opportunity, drop ball, penalty. A little of everything, I think, goes in on there. Me as a coach, we got to find a way to punch that ball into the end zone and finish off these drives.
And giving up the 56 points again, once again, like you said, Stevens Lake Shore is dynamic players on their team. They haven't had a ton of success this year, but they do have good players. They've had a tough schedule, so they put it all together last night. Is their homecoming that when they get a lead like that and get things going for their momentum with that kind of crowd, did you see that play into that a little bit?
If you look at their scores from the year, they this number three, this kid is was wide receiver for him, and they kind of moved him into that quarterback position within the last 3-4 games, and a very good decision for him because it's in his hands every single play. and he gets to decide whether or not he's a little bit of an option type offense, and gets to decide if he's keeping it. And when he keeps it, it's a tough thing. Athlete in space, and he does a great job. So, you know, I'll give that kid credit. He's really good. But we got to be better. It's all on us. And I told you this all year. We have to get ourselves better. We have to be in right positions. We got to make tackles when tackles are there. We got to come up with better defensive schemes. All of the above. We got to be better defensively.
Moving the ball in between the 20s, there had to be some bright spots there a little bit on the offense, especially. What did you see there in terms of some guys that came up with?
You know, we put Isaiah Jackson a little bit at wide receiver this game. Decided to get a little bit more speed on the field. He finally was kind of getting healthy from the last 2 weeks where he was banged up. And we threw the ball really well. They were, again, playing some man coverage on us and stacking the box, trying to stop our run game. We were able to kind of open it up a little bit with throwing the football, and Gavin Deal and Isaiah Jackson both some decent games there at wide receiver. And then Austin Willmuth still running the ball really hard, you know, just going forward on all of his plays. You can pretty much count on for 3-4 yards on a not great play. And then on some of our better block plays, we're going to go ahead and get, you know, 10 to 15 yards off of that stuff. And he runs hard, finishes runs, and does a great job in that aspect. But yeah, as I said earlier, we got to find a way to finish these drives. So
we turn the page a little bit, and Lakeview is on the road again next week. It doesn't get any easier. You play at Portage Central, a team that's really put together this year, ranked in the state, and athletes and D1 prospects all over the field.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough game, right? But as I've said weeks before, we're looking to try to better ourselves. Let's just see if we can't get better from week to week. See if we can't make progress as we go into Port Essential. It's going to be tough. Got to go there. Obviously, number two ranked team in Division II right now. Handled Portage Northern pretty easily last night. They're a great team.
So we'll look forward to talking about that, Lakeview, at Port Essential when we get together next week with Coach's Corner. Thanks a lot, Coach, for joining us. Yeah. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. Talking about St. Phil Fighting Tigers, Coach Kevin Bennett isn't going to be able to join us this morning. They have a 1 o'clock game at DW Post Field. It's going to be homecoming for St. Phil. It's actually a 1:30 start there. Mendon, ranked in the state in 8-player football, is coming into town. It'll be a tough ask for St. Phil as they come in and against a really hot Mendon team. But if all the alumni can come on down and enjoy homecoming with St. Phil downtown at DW Post Field, with Mendon coming to town, it's an opportunity to see the Fighting Tigers up close and personal. Looking ahead to next week, we'll look at the rest of the schedule in the city. We have Valkyrie Central will be hosting St. Joe next week. And we have Lakeview, like we said before, going to Portage Central. Harbor Creek has a big game. It's going to be our game of the week next week. They'll be hosting Marshall in a key I-8 game where Harbor Creek can clinch a share of the title in that game. We have Penfield is going to be at home against Jackson Northwest. And after St. Phil plays Mendon at home this week for homecoming later today, they will be hosting Athens next Saturday night, also under the lights at CW Post Field. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
Hey, Coach Lauren Granger of the Valkyrie Central Bearcats, and good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
We had Valkyrie Central hosting Kalamazoo Central and the longest-running rivalry west of the Alleghenies downtown at CW Post Field, and Valkyrie Central had a really nice start. They led 12-0. They ended up losing the game 31-12. But talk about how things were going well early. You guys seemed to take advantage of some opportunities early and scored those first two early touchdowns. So.
Yeah, you know, our focus these last couple of weeks has been getting off to faster starts. It seems like we have started the last few games a little slow and then turned it on in the second half. And so we were really focused on how can we get a fast start in this game, because we felt like if we got momentum early, we could keep it going through the second half. We've already proven that we play well in the second half many times over. So we thought if we got up early and got some momentum, we could carry that through the second half and win the game. And we did that. We started fast. We forced early turnovers. We drove the ball. We made some mistakes, but we capitalized on some of theirs and jumped up early. We didn't have our kicker last night, so went for two on both our early touchdowns and failed each time. So 12-0 was our start. But we slowly started to lose our momentum after that. And sometimes you wonder, when you get a fast start, if you don't accidentally take your foot off the gas a little too early sometimes. And I'm not sure that that was the case with our kids last night, but it did seem like mentally we just started to make some more mistakes. We had some more penalties. We weren't executing the way that we had just a couple drives earlier. And Kalamazoo Central started to gain some momentum of their own. So, you know, we give up 31 unanswered points in a variety of different ways. We had some special teams miscues. They blocked a punt for a touchdown. There were a couple of deep passes that they threw in clutch situations where we're in position to make plays and we just don't. So we had our opportunities to stop them and they capitalized on their opportunity to execute.
Those two early touchdowns came up. Turnovers, like you said, Randall Gray had an interception about midfield, and from there you guys go down the field, and Lee Campbell, I mean, that was the second touchdown, but Lee Campbell had a crazy touchdown. Well, that was the first touchdown. Lee Campbell had a crazy touchdown where he looked like he had fumbled the ball, and everyone's kind of stopped playing, and he picked it up, and then he threw it to Greg Williams to make it 6-0. That was from 32 yards out, and then after a fumble recovery, next possession at midfield again, that you guys took advantage of that, and Mubarak Jibril came away with a 16-yard touchdown run. There was a lot of confusion about that first touchdown pass, so it was kind of interesting how it happened. Walk us through what happened next. Not too many people on the field actually saw what happened or were sure what happened.
Ben Johnson inspired trick play.
Exactly. It was a genius
falls on the ground. Genius on the coaching staff. Yeah, we, you know, Ben, Coach Johnson, and I had a conversation early in the week. What should we do? What should we do? And he said, act like you fumbled the ball. Everybody will stop playing. And your wide receiver will be wide open in the end zone. And worked to perfection. Not really.
Yeah. Let's put that in the playbook, baby.
Yeah, right. You know, fumble in the pocket. There's a scramble for the ball. They actually had tackled LJ as he fumbled the ball, but because he fumbled the ball, they let LJ go. And now the ball is bouncing around, and LJ just picks it back up and throws it for a touchdown. Very well aware of the fact that when he fumbled the ball, that the defense is going to collapse, and he's a smart player, so he just knew that there was going to be somebody out there, and he just kind of lofted it up. He found Greg for a touchdown. And so very heady play on his part. He does a good job with that kind of thing in moments of panic, finding ways to make plays. He's a great player in that way. Later on in the game, we could have used a few of those lucky breaks, but didn't really get them. But, yeah, that was the first one. And then you mentioned Mubarak Jibril. He's really come on lately. He's also just a sophomore, but he's really come on lately as a running back. And that touchdown run, 16 yards. You know, he broke a few tackles while he was on his way to the end zone, and he's getting pretty good at that. So we got to find a way to get him the ball in his hands more often and allow him to do his running back stuff.
Kalamazoo Central is the defending champs in the SMAC East Division, and they came in with an experienced team, a roster full of seniors. and you guys are still have a really young team, playing only a handful of seniors on your side of the ball. But that game was a situation where both teams were tied for first place coming in, and it's an opportunity where the kids know that there's a lot on the line late in the year. And we talked last night about how something can be gained from that, right?
What a privilege it is to play for something that matters. You know, you talk about winning and losing. A loss doesn't really mean much if you aren't playing for anything. Last night it's a character building situation for athletes. When you lose something that matters to you, that's what drives you to want to be better in the off season. It's what drives you to want to work harder in practice and ultimately motivates you to be a better athlete. So yeah, we lost the game, but we gained the experience of playing for something that matters. It was a great atmosphere for that reason. You want to be in those situations. You want to be on that stage. You want to have that kind of pressure. Those things are all privileges that you get as an athlete when you have worked hard and when you've executed enough to put yourself in a position to be on that stage. So, you know, very proud of our team for being on the stage in the first place. A year ago, nobody would have even had us in that conversation. And we're still in that conversation, really, because they still have to play a divisional game that's a rivalry game for them that could go either way. We could still end up in a tie for first place if Lloyd North were to beat them. And we still have our destiny in our hands with the last 2 weeks of the season in front of us. We have a St. Joe team and a Mattawan team that, if we should beat, will propel us into the playoffs. And, you know, everything is still under our control. We lost an opportunity last night, but our challenge as a team is to allow us to motivate us to want to be better these next 2 weeks and really play. I mean, our playoffs start now. We say we want to be in the playoffs every year. We're in the playoffs now. We have to win these next two in order to keep playing. And, you know, as young as our team is, that experience is going to pay big dividends for this team over the next couple of years. But, you know, right now we're focused on how we're going to finish this year, making sure that we get as much out of it as we can.
So Valkyrie Central is now 4-3. And like you said, playing in St. Joe at home next week and then at Mattawan on the road in week 9, and lots to still play for the Bearcats, a couple wins, and Valkyrie Central will be in the playoffs with a 6-3 record and a great turnaround after only winning one game combined over the last 2 years. We'll talk about St. Joe coming to town next week and hopefully a Bearcat victory next week. Thanks a lot for calling in, Coach. Or coming in, Coach.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here at WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
What's up, bro? Coach Mason Converse and the Harbor Creek Beavers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
We had Harbor Creek playing in a championship-type atmosphere last night. They went over to Hastings. Both teams were tied for first place in the Interstate 8 Conference. And the winner would have a straight road to the championship with a victory last night with a couple of games still left to play with destiny in their own hands. Harbor Creek went over to Hastings and came away with a 29-15 victory. Congratulations, Coach.
Thanks, Bill. What a great game. What a great atmosphere up there. It was homecoming for them. It was they were 5-1, ranked in Division 3 in the state. We're 5-1, ranked in Division 4. We talked all week about the championship atmosphere and how we needed that to prepare us for playoff atmospheres. And Hastings did not disappoint. It was a heavyweight battle throughout the whole game. And both teams needed a game like that. And both teams played outstanding. My hat's off to Hastings. Coach Murphy does an outstanding job up there. And they punched us in the mouth early in the first half. It was back and forth. They had 12 first downs. We had 14 first downs for the game. They had 237 yards of total offense, and we had 284 yards of total offense. They kept the ball for 25 minutes trying to keep it away from us, and We held it for 22 minutes, though, and held it down the stretch when it mattered. And they had eight possessions. We had eight possessions. So it was about as even as you could get throughout the game.
And the result is that Harbor Creek now is still undefeated in the IA. They are 4-0 in the conference with two conference games left to play. Hastings falls to 4-1 in the league. They only have one conference game left to play. The way that the game started last night, like you said, is back and forth. And it was 15-14 at halftime, and you guys trailed. Talk about that early part and then getting you guys to halftime.
Well, Hastings, we know Hastings goes for two, but we made the conscious decision during the week that with our kicker and such a weapon that Alex LaFleur is, that we were going to kick extra points because we knew he could kick field goals if we needed to also. So we made that choice early on in the week, and so we knew when we scored we were going for one, and things started out really well. We had Gavin Chapman back from injury last night. They made the mistake of kicking the ball to him, and we got a nice return out of him. And set us up in great field position. And then Maddox McCarty hooked up with Dylan Eversaw, which is becoming quite a combination this year, on the second play from scrimmage and scored a long touchdown. So we're up 7-0 with just a couple minutes gone from the game. And then our defense came out, and it wasn't a 3-and-out. I think we stopped them. They got a first down, and I think we stopped them on the second set of downs and forced them to punt. So we're rolling. But give Hastings credit. They stuffed us. Their defense came out and stuffed our offense. We went 3-and-out on that possession. So you'd love to be able to take control of the game at that point. And they did a great job and absolutely hammered us. We might have even only gained a down or a yard on that set of downs right there. So we had to punt the ball back to them. They went back down and scored. Did get the 2-point conversion. So they were up 8-7. Then we put another drive back together. Came back down the field and went up 14-8. And right before halftime, again, back and forth, we thought we could hold them out of the end zone. They had about 25 seconds left and no timeouts. I think it was a third down from around the 20-yard line. And we knew they had to go to the air. And they threw a fade to the corner of the end zone. And I'll give their kid credit. He made a great play over top of our corner. So sometimes those are things you just can't control. We had a guy in position. Just their kid made a better play. So. And then they kicked the extra point. So they were up 15-14 at halftime. But, again, it just felt like a heavyweight battle, just punches being thrown back and forth.
Then the second half, a couple of things happened. You guys continued to get your running game going. Kamari Hampton had two touchdowns in the second half. He had 92 yards total for 11 carries for the game. And then your defense kept them scoreless in the second half. And hats off to that defense for doing that against a team that really can drive the ball and can grind out first downs and then score on long touchdown drives. But that keeping them off the board was huge. Cameron Converse and Antoine Wester each had 10 tackles to lead Harbor Creek for the game. And talk about your defense in the second half and how big they came up.
So our defense was outstanding all night. Derek Stansberry is our defensive coordinator, and he has our guys dialed in and playing fast and with emotion, and they're tackling well. They tackled well last night. And Hastings is tough. I mean, anytime you play a power team is tough, but they're especially tough probably because we know each other so well. And they're running back to get in behind the line, and it's almost like a wedge block every single time. They just wait for a seam and bust it out. So you've got to be really, really focused on your keys and really disciplined. And I know you mentioned, but to hold the team, they were averaging 41 points a game. So to hold them to 15 and shut them out in the second half is an unbelievable effort and shows a lot about the guts of this team and how much they care about each other and love each other to fight that hard for each other. And Westry and Converse both had 10 tackles. Gavin Rice had 7 tackles. Josh Bodie, that our Mike linebacker, had 7. Cohen Deskins from the D-line position. We challenged our defensive line all week to build the trap, you know, wrong arm the trap, which is, I know those are football terms, but not get upfield, because when you get upfield against these guys, that's when they run underneath you. And he had 9 huge tackles and just played outstanding. Sean Johnson, another D-lineman for us, played our nose and hammered their center all night. He had 6 tackles. And then our secondary, a lot of times in the past, when Hastings has tripped us up, We'll get them in long down situations, and our secondary loses focus on their keys, and they were locked in last night, and they allowed the one touchdown there at the end of the first half, but again, that was just their kid making a better play. But other than that, they were focused and locked in on their guys, on their keys all night, and did not allow breakaway passes for first downs. That's DJ DJ Woods, Tegan Turnbull, and Levi Carr, and they were outstanding all night, including some big plays at the very end of the game.
So that keeps you guys in first place. You're defending champs in the I-8, and the big goal this year was to do it again, and now you're in a position to do that, and puts Hastings a game behind you, and that championship effort last night, and a huge game in the conference for Harbor Creek. And that sets up a big final 2 weeks of the season for Harbor Creek. Destiny is in your own hands. You can take care of your own business and win a championship, continue this nice season, and it all starts next week with your rival, Marshall.
Yep, absolutely. Can't wait. We're going to enjoy this weekend, but it's always fun to play Marshall. There won't be any overlooking them because of the rivalry that it is. And before we talk much more about them, let's just talk a little bit more about the second half, because a big moment in the Hastings game last night was we punted the ball to them. They returned a long punt for I don't know exactly where they were. I want to say somewhere around the 15-yard line, and we were still down 14-15 at that point. And so our defense made a big stop, and then not only stopped them and forced them to kick a field goal, but then blocked the field goal. And that changed a lot of momentum right there. And that was gutsy. And then our offense started taking over at that point. And I'm going to give our offensive line credit, because the first half, Hastings was controlling the line of scrimmage a little bit. And our offensive line, our tight end, tight end to tight end, they controlled the line of scrimmage in the second half. And that's Logan Converse, Sean Johnson, Cohen Deskins, Ty Schmidt, Rocky Answer, Aiden Wynn, and Antoine Westry. They were allowing us to gain 4 to 5 yards at a pop last night and really keep Hastings off the board and from holding on to the ball. And then one other guy I want to give a shout-out to, Landon Sawyer, who's a junior. He plays vital roles on special teams for us, and he's right on the edge of starting all year, and he's worked so hard. And we had an injury last night and lost a player, and he came in. And it was a big moment, championship game, and he did outstanding. And that's a great life lesson right there of someone's ready when his number's called. And not only did he play outstanding, but he made the game-winning sack, because after we scored to go up 29-15, they came back down with about a minute and a half to go, and we're looking like they were going to score. They had first and goal on the 5, and we shut them out, and it ended with Landon getting a sack on about the 15-yard line to seal the win for us. So very proud of those guys.
Big effort from everybody in the second half, like you mentioned there, and then that just gives you guys momentum going forward, and playing the Marshall team that can score a lot of points. They are a diverse offense. They've shown all season long that they can run the ball with their big back, Alupade, and then they've added this year an aspect of their quarterback play where their quarterback, Wado, can run or pass when he needs to. And that's a tough offense to stop, and that's going to be the focus of you guys this year, this week.
So they're a much improved team, and they're playing with a chip on their shoulder this year. We've worked in all the camps that we've been to throughout the summer, the prospect camps. Lapide has been there at all of them, and he's shown out really well. And he is an outstanding young man, an outstanding running back, and it will be a great challenge to go against him. And their quarterback runs well and throws well, and they're putting points up week in and week out. And not that you need any motivation at all, but again, like I said a minute ago, it's Marshall Harper Creek, and this rivalry goes back a lot of years, and I'm glad we get them at home, and we know that we need to get this game to have a share of the IA title. So last night was the championship feel, but we got to finish the job now, and there's no love lost between Marshall and Harper Creek, and hopefully we can get 5,000 fans out next week to watch the event.
Always a great atmosphere with Marshall and Harper Creek play, and then just putting numbers to the facts of what we're doing here. Harper Creek is undefeated in the league. They still have 2 games left. You guys had a non-conference game stuck in the middle of your schedule there, so you still have 2 left. Some other teams in the league only have 1 left, but including Hastings. So with a win over Marshall, it's a chance to clinch a share of the title, and then finish the job the following week to get it by yourselves. But Marshall would like nothing more to spoil your party there. So that has to be the mindset, and that has to be the message this week for your team, right?
Without a doubt. And Marshall still has a chance to make the playoffs too, if I'm not mistaken, especially with their win last night. So that they're still trying to get into the playoffs and make a little noise. And we've talked a lot about how we have to finish the job, and we have to win 1 of 2, to be conference champs. We have a one-game lead with two games to go, but we don't want to share it either. And to win back-to-back titles, that hasn't been done since 2016 and 2017. So it's been a while since that's happened, and our kids have really embraced that and are excited for that challenge.
Be exciting to get to out to Harbor Creek next week at Greenman Athletic Complex, with Marshall coming into town. Be a big crowd, it always is, with both teams coming in there. And the fact that the Interstate 8 Conference title is on the line, Harbor Creek has a chance to share that. That'll be exciting for the Beavers. I'll be excited to talk about that.
Can't wait, Bill. Excited for it.
That is it for Coach's Corner for this Saturday. We'll be back next Saturday to talk about all the big games for the week, including that big Marshall-Harbor Creek game on Friday. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week on WBCK 95.3 FM.